Broadcasting live from the peak of Mount Warning, the most easterly point of Australia. Tune in to the Free Manatee Radio Show with your host, Spread Love, every Monday, 6 a.m. EST. On the show each week, we discuss realistic solutions to help you observe rather than take part in the globalist agenda. We will dig into the past to find solutions for the future. We will discuss the wisdom of Ayurveda, the science of life, for techniques for understanding and achieving personal health and longevity. Please join us every Monday on Studio A, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Free Manatee Radio broadcast with your host, Spread Love. On Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Revolution Radio, good evening. It is 8 p.m. Eastern, and you are listening to Studio A. Get ready to lock in for the next 2 hours. Ladies and gentlemen, Watchmen on the Wall with your host, The Watchman.
Promise as reality.
more. What life's in store isn't just what we have all been waiting for. Standing free down there, just one thing I know. Why have you come here? We are soldiers in the revolution of all of
Thank you for joining us here. I'm the Watchman here on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast. Thank you for joining again this Pagan Sunday night, which the Watchman on the Wall broadcast can be heard on what the Roman Pagan calendar states. Every Pagan Sunday night between 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And appreciate you tuning in. We've got some incredible information that just came forth the last 3.5 years and a month. And I think a lot of people, we've talked about it on other broadcasts here on the Watchman on the Wall, here on revolution.radio, freedombluefs.com. Again, one of the freest places to be in, indeed. And you look at the prophetic angle of things, and a lot of people ask, what does prophecy really mean? Because there's so many different true meanings. There's more than just one meaning, correct meaning, actually. Of prophecy. Prophecy is one definition is given as history. Prophecy is history written in advance. And that is a very commonly known definition, history written in advance. And of course, many would say that that history has been altered, which it has. I totally agree. But the reality is that prophecy is different than what we would think of as history, because prophecy, even though it's history written in advance, as one definition states, which is true, it's not the only definition for prophecy. Prophecy is obviously prophetic, duh, all right? But prophetic words, because a lot of people don't like words on paper, but they don't mind listening to words verbalized or an orator speaking and so forth. But books and so forth, like I've talked about many times on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast, many people just think, well, every book has been tampered by man. Well, yeah. Again, the majority are the counterfeits. I would agree. But there is still the reality of truth. Again, just like I've stated as one of the glad refrains here on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast, just because the hypocrites and the counterfeits have usurped the so-called status quo or the so-called orthodox position or the so-called mainstream view does not mean that the truth of prophecy goes away. Prophecy, and of course many movies have been made about prophecy. In fact, there was a movie called Prophecy, probably several different kinds of genres of movies concerning prophecy, but the testimony of the Most High Messiah, whose name is Yahweh. Again, some majority would say Yahweh, but in Hebrew it's actually pronounced Yahweh. The testimony of the Messiah, Yahweh, and he came in the Father's name, the Messiah did, because he said he was the Father in the flesh as the Son. He said that according to John the Revelator, you know, the beloved disciple, he stated that the testimony of the Messiah, Yahweh of Nazareth, is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy. You see, again, the letter of the law, words can be twisted, can be manipulated, but the spirit of the law, or the spirit of prophecy, I should say, cannot be altered. When the Most High gives a word, his word was, again, as I've stated many times, was written in the heavens. And you ain't going to, you and I or anybody else, and those that have gone way before all of us ever got here, cannot go up in the heavens and rip down the stars, the sun, or the moon. I mean, I know Bill Gates wants to put a dent in the sun so that there's, you know, not enough sunlight. What a kooky dude. Indeed. Look at cookie crumb ice cream there. But anyhow, in a bad way, you can't alter the stars, sun, or the moon. I'm just sorry. I mean, no matter what they try to report or whatever they want, that whatever Billy Gates of Hellboy wants to do, they can't rip down the luminaries of the Most High. It's just, and why did he give the luminaries? Many would ask. Well, the Most High gave us the luminaries, the sun, the moon, or the stars being the luminaries. He gave them for timepieces. Like I've stated many times and illustrated here on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast here on Revolution.radio, the three hands on a wristwatch, if you want to use the pagan time for a moment, as we've talked about here, you got the second hand that goes the fastest of all the three hands on a wristwatch, and you got the hour hand that goes the second fastest, right? And then you've got, of course, the hourly hand, which we'll go seconds, minutes, excuse me, is a secondary. And then the hourly is the slowest. So you got the seconds that go the fastest. The second hand on the watch, right? Wristwatch goes the fastest. The minute hand goes the second fastest. And, of course, the hour hand on a wristwatch or clock or whatever that has three aspects, the second, minute, and hour. The hour goes the slowest, obviously. So how does that parallel or in a parabolic illustration, I guess, how does that compare to the sun, moon, and star watch? When you might ask, well, or even think, well, the stars are the fastest moving of the luminaries. It's like the second hand. It goes the fastest of the three, sun, moon, and stars. And of course, the minutes are kind of illustrated as, well, we know the moon is the second fastest. Stars go quickest. Moon goes the second quickest. And then the sun goes the third quickest. And you can prove that in nature. You can prove that in just watching it. You know, and they're not to be worshipped, by the way. The sun, moon, and star are never to be worshipped, as some have adored that which was created, when you can adore the creator. I mean, it doesn't make sense to adore a creation or give adoration to a creation when you can just give adoration to the creator. You know, if those that are inclined to worship the creation versus the creator, they're in a subtle form called idolatrous practice. They're in an idolatrous practice, whether they like it or not, whether they know it or not, whether they believe it or not, that's what's coming in. That's what's actually happening. And it's so many, in so many cases, you have so many, people that use the sun, moon, and the stars and all the planets. But by the way, planets in the Hebrew, as I've stated many times on the broadcast, planets in the Hebrew, not the Yiddish, but the pictograph Hebrew, planets in the Hebrew, the original Hebrew, literally means wandering star, by the way, for those that are interested in knowing what does planets, you know, are a different life source of a place of a life sources, other different life sources than us, as many would want to say. But no, that's not true, because the Most High said that we were the apple, those who dwell on the earth, the inhabitants of the earth were literally the only game in town. hate to bust your bubble for all you Trekkies out there and all you Star Wars geeks out there. But the Most High gave us the sun, moon, and the stars. And the stars and the moon were considered the lesser lights. And then the moon or the sun was the greater light. And yet the moon and the sun are the same size, but yet the sun gives out seven times more brightness of brilliancy of light. hence the reason why they are the same size, or you can prove that out when you see a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse, when the dark side of the moon, the invisible moon, dark moon, in, which occurs in the middle of the month, by the way, not at the beginning of the month, another false representation of the Roman Vatican Jesuit-led New World, Old World odor that puts that on your calendar. They want to say that the new moon is a dark moon and the full moon is 2 moons or 2 weeks away, which is laughable because the terms new moon and full moon in the Hebrew are interchangeable, speaking of the same Hebrew word, kesa. That's right. Look it up, Strong's. If you have a Strong's dictionary, look up the word there in Psalms 81:3 and Proverbs 7:20. If you want to do the math and do the research, you will find that it's speaking of the same words. The new moon is the full moon. The full moon is the new moon. It's interchangeable, synonymous phrases, speaking of the new full moon, in essence, or the full new moon, however you like. And so, you know, everyone's, like I stated many times here on the Watchmen on the Wall broadcast, is following a time warp of a timepiece called the Roman Gregorian Vaticanus, named after Pope Gregory, Gregorian chant. No, it's freaking pretty wicked. But the Roman Gregorian calendar is named after Pope Gregory. It was, of course, known as the Julian calendar prior, and then they changed it to the Gregorian calendar. That's the one that says January through December. You know, the one that says, you know, Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday, the one on the wall for commercial purposes, you know, the one that deceives the masses into being a, you know, following like a hamster in a wheel time cycle that doesn't stop for nothing. You know, you've seen those little rats in a hamster cage, or a hamster in a in a cage, and they're just spinning around. And you're going, when are they going to stop? Well, that's what the 1 through 7, 1 through 7, 1 through 7. Pagan weekly cycle, which they try to say that it's a continuous 7-day cycle. It doesn't stop for nothing. You know, the hamster in a wheel, 7-day cycle that doesn't stop for nothing, when it's another lie. I mean, in case you didn't know that, throw that in for extra credit or for good measure, because a lot of people, you know, even though they get their 2 days a week from their boss off, their 2 days off from their boss, right? They still many times feel tired because, oh, I get 2 days off, but I still feel tired. It's because they're letting their boss dictate to them and be their master instead of the Most High. Letting him be our master and our guide. And he gave us the sun, moon, and stars for true time, because motion is time. Time is motion, right? Time is movement of the sun, moon, and stars. And if you don't rest when the Most High says to rest, you will, which is by the moon, the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, the so-called 7-day unending cycle is a lie, because each month, each lunation, the moon brings in 4 new weeks for us. Did you know that? Well, in case you didn't, there you go. The moon, every lunation, every full new moon, which, by the way, that's right, tonight you'll see that full new moon rise in the east. It'll be a hue of yellow, you know, in the east, and it'll be the 7th new full moon tonight that rises, and the first day of the 7th full new moon will be tomorrow. From dawn to dusk will be the 7th full new moon, or what the Most High's government and kingdom law states in Leviticus chapter 23, it is the feast of Yom Teruah, not Rosh Hashanah, by the way. Okay? Even though Rosh Hashanah is more of the Talmudic infiltration, deception, it's not the first of the year, even though they use it as their 7th or as their civil new year, which really is not the so-called true new year. The true new year is always in spring. It's not in the fall. It's the 7th full new moon. It can't be the beginning of the year at the 7th moon now. It's the head or the turning of the year, or the one of the two heads of the year, Rosh being the Hebrew word for the head of the year, is the beginning of the year. And then the turning of the year lets you know you're in the middle of the year. That's the other head of the moon. Because doesn't the full new moon look like a head, a captain, a chief? It's at its chiefest phase, right? It's at its biggest hue, its biggest size, its biggest light. And it brings in four new weeks. And you can prove this out by going to Ezekiel 46. You can look up 1-6. They're the first six verses. Details it pretty clearly that there are three category of days. Just like there's three category of lights. You got the sun, moon, and stars, as mentioned. You've got three category of days as well. Three category of days. The new moon day, which is not a dark moon. It's not a sliver moon. That's what the Roman pagan Gregorian calendar on your wall gives you a faulty opinion to get you in a time warp of being off 2 weeks and most of the time 2 to 6 weeks to be more accurate. 2 weeks generally obviously is that case, but 2 to 6 weeks they're off on the count of the beginning of the year because of the what they call the Hillel calendar that the Talmudic Jews and the Masoretic Jews follow. And the Most High said not to follow the ways of man. Don't follow. You don't need two guys to go look on a hillside up in the land of Judea and say, okay, there's the new moon for you. Now you can take our word for it. No, no. And that's the same thing with Rome. You don't need to go on the pagan calendar, January, December, and then look at them each pagan month and say, okay, well, the new moon is the dark moon and the full moon is 2 weeks later. That's another time warp again, as I've stated. The full moon is the new moon. The new moon is the full moon. It's a full new moon. It's a new full moon that brings in four new weeks. And those three category of days are defined in Ezekiel 46. The first category day is obviously the new moon day because the new year day is always in the spring. And the turning of the year or the middle of the year is always in the seventh. So what they call Rosh Hashanah, many are saying the last week or so, or 2 weeks, you've been hearing it. Even your calendar might even say it in some calendars. It already happened when reality, they're going to be off 2 to 6 weeks, like I've stated. And they're off, obviously, 2 weeks this particular year, specifically. So what does this all mean? Well, again, why are you talking about this, Watchman? Well, I should talk about some time issues since, you know, this is the Watchman on the Wall broadcast here on Revolution.Radio, FreedomsLips.com, one of the first places to be indeed. And I just, at times, you know, sometimes I feel compelled to let us know what day, what time we're really, what time really it is. What day is it really? Of course, there's also controversy on what year are we really in. But we are right now on the last day, technically, according to the Most High's government calendar. He stated that the seventh moon is the fall, beginning of fall. That's right, the beginning of fall. And if you notice the last 2 or 3 weeks or so, you've seen those leaves change just now, just incredibly beautifully going through their transition autumn stage. And what they call fall, also synonymous for autumn, if you will. And then the fall feasts are found right there in Leviticus chapter 23. For those that want to know where this information is found, where all these fall feasts, where all the spring feasts, the summer feasts, and the fall feasts. Because the spring feast is the Pesach or the Passover, which is the beginning of the year, which is 2 weeks into the beginning of the year on the 14th of the first moon. And then you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread after the 14th, the 15th through the 22nd is actually the 21st. You have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then the Summer Feast. A lot of people say, oh, no, there's spring and then there's two fall feasts. There's no summer feast. Well, that's I beg to differ because the Most High does everything. He does everything decently and in order. And he has a spring, summer and fall feast. And there's seven of them. Not nine of them, as from his kingdom government, there's only seven of them. Okay, And of course, the weekly Sabbath really is the first feast mentioned in Leviticus 23. And then, of course, the Feast of Pesach is the first month, 14th day, unleavened bread, and is on the 15th, the 16th of the first moon is the Feast of First Fruits. And then the 21st of the first moon, he also commands us to observe the 21st. And so you have, that's the spring aspect of his feast right there in Leviticus 23. Then the summer feast is the Shavuot, or what they call the day of Pentecost. Is really kind of a misnomer. It's really the day of Pentecost, if you want to use that phrase, because it's really 100 to 102 days to get to a summer wheat harvest. Even the so-called pagan department of agricultural, at least they got that right, where it takes 90 to 120 days to have a mature wheat, summer wheat harvest. Yeah. And so to get to that feast, you've got to observe the Feast of Passover the next day. That's the 14th of the first moon. The 15th is the first day of the 7-day Feast of Unleavened Bread. The second day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is also called the Feast of First Fruits. That's the third day on which the Most High Messiah resurrected from the tomb, the grave. That's right. He died on the 14th. He was buried before the Sabbath, which was the 15th. And he resurrected on the third day, which was the 16th of the first moon, what they call, what the Most High's word calls Abib. All the other months, 12 or 13 months sometimes, generally, 12 months, and then every, third or fourth year, the Most High gives us the 13th moon. But generally, the feast of the day of the Most High's death, burial, and resurrection is the Passover. I mean, that's just a general fact. And he resurrected on the third day, which was the Feast of First Fruits, which was the 16th day of the first moon. Might want to get the archive on this broadcast if you really want to get this information. You can look this up. Again, found in Leviticus chapter 23, where all the feasts are mentioned. And the reason why I'm bringing all this subject up today on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast is, again, because tomorrow, tonight, the full new moon rises in the eastern, probably rising between now and the next hour, if it hasn't already, depending on where you're at. If you're in the west or northern hemisphere, if you're on the east coast, you're probably seeing it. If you're on the west coast, you won't see it till as the sun sets within an hour or so, give or take up or down, you'll see that full new moon rise in the east tonight. That's right. To let us know, tonight is the beacon of light of the seventh new moon, which begins tomorrow morning from dawn to dusk. Those 12 hours of daylight tomorrow will be the Feast of Trumpets, or what the true Hebrew phrase is called Yom Terurah. Yom Terurah is the Hebrew phrase, again, for our English Feast of Trumpets. And this was the date of his birth, by the way, the Most High Messiah, when he came in the flesh in Bethlehem. He was raised in Nazareth, but he was born in Bethlehem. And you can go right to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and read about it. Also in Micah, he mentions it in chapter 5 of Bethlehem, location of his birth. But in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government..." Hold on a minute. When we talk about the kingdom government of the Most High Messiah, Yahweh of Nazareth, yeah, it's right there. "And the government shall be upon the Most High Messiah's shoulder." That's right. The one they call the Son of the Most High is the Most High in the flesh. Just like all you fathers out there, you started off as a son initially and you became a father later in your life. Well, the Most High, because he does not have a beginning or an end, he's always been the everlasting Father, he chose to come in the flesh to be called the Son of Man. Many times you'll see that phrase in the book of Daniel. Also, the book of Enoch uses it over 70 times. I think it's also in the Genesis to Revelation account. You'll see that phrase, Son of Man, at least 70 times. that the Most High Messiah, Enoch depicts the true Most High Messiah very, very beautifully. I mean, very apropos of his glory, of his kavod. Glory is the Hebrew word, or kavod is the Hebrew word for what we would say glory. Enoch knew that the Most High Father of Lights would come in the flesh as the Son of Man. The Ancient of Days, Daniel called him. If you read the book of Daniel, Daniel's name actually means the Most High is my judge. That's what Daniel's name. Many, many names of all the prophets had several incredible meanings. Each of them had they all severally had incredible meanings for their names that would depict many times the purpose of each and every prophet or apostles or patriarch's life, what they would do in this life, what their role would play. And so when you look at Daniel, he talks about a time where this little horn, this beast, this fourth beast that Daniel wrote about it, Ezra wrote about it in his second book called 2 Esdras, chapters 11 through 13, where he said this beast would terrorize the nations, and this beast would be a Roman beast system. From the time of the Messiah's birth, we know that Rome, historical records obviously bear this out, this is pretty obvious, that Rome was the culprit of controlling people's lives. It was Satan's seat, like I've talked about on the broadcast. And Daniel depicted that this little horn, this beast, would think, and it actually says this, they would think to change times, days, and years, and seasons. But you can't really change the sun, moon, and stars again, as I stated. You can't change Yah's feast or seasons, because the word for season in Hebrew is moed or moedim, which is the feasts of Yah, which is his appointed, set apart holy days, not Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving and being thankful for wiping off and genocide. My ancestors, and of course many out there have native roots as well, our ancestors collectively, we state that the good news is the Most High is going to give us back the land. It's not a racial thing. It's a grace thing. It's a promise. It's a prophecy. Speaking of that word prophecy, to digress back, it's prophesied that the Most High gave the house of Joseph the greatest landmass inheritance of all the 12 tribes of Yisrael. Did you know that? That's right. And of course, Yada, what they call Judah, got the spiritual blessing, the scepter shall not depart from Judah or Yada, till Shiloh come. Messiah would come through the line, not physically, but just custodially. He would come through the line of Yada, not a physical line, but a custodial line, not a biological line. Again, he didn't come from the dust like us. He came through the virgin, but not from the virgin's DNA or ovum. That's right. She was the first surrogate, if you will. That's why he never called her mother, by the way. You ever wonder why the Messiah? It's really sad because many ones try to say that the Most High's, of course, he made us all in his image, or specifically Adam and Eve. And many would try to depict the Most High as three separate entities, Father, Son, and Mother, which is blasphemy, by the way, because there's only one Most High to worship, and he has the X and the Y's in himself. Many times he would say, here is the Almighty in the first chapter of the second book of Esdras that they took out in the first King James Bible, had 2 Ezra with 16 chapters. And in the first chapter, the Most High, the Almighty Yahweh, says he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, I would have gathered you as a hen that gathered her chick. So here the Most High, the Father, okay? depicts himself in a illustration in the parabolic way that he's like a hen that gathered her chicks. Now, he's not a female, but he has the X and the Y in him, but he's not, this Holy Spirit is not a she. It has feminine nuances, but not a gender of being a female. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Most High. It's interchangeable. The Spirit of the Father is the Holy Spirit, if you will. Okay, the Son is the physical flesh and blood aspect of the Father coming in the flesh as himself, called the Son of the Most High. It's just first, second, third person verbal vernacular. It has nothing to do with a fictitious pagan three-person Trinity. Father, Son, Mother. No. No such thing. But see, that's why a lot of people don't want to talk about Christianity, and I would concur with them on this totally. That that's just ripped off from Isis and Osiris and the three persons of the Egyptian Trinity, and that's exactly right. Except that's the counterfeit. That's again the hypocrites usurped authority. The real McCoy was the Spirit of the Father is the Ruach HaKodesh. It is the Father himself in his invisible capacity. It's not another person with a female gender. Okay? It's not a father, mother, son situation going on. Okay? Oh, that's the Almighty. The Almighty is three persons, and it's the Father number one, he's the Father, he's top billing number one, and then the Holy Spirit, that's the female, that's the mother, and No. I don't care how many ancient texts you find that might even say stuff of such like. The reality is he's not going to contradict. You judge any ancient text by the Most High's first command in his government. And when he gave the Ten Commandments, the first one was, I am Yahweh, your Almighty, that brought you out of Mitzrayim or Egypt. Don't have any others before me. Because then he says in Isaiah, there's none beside me. I don't know, there's none to my left, there's none to my right. And there's so many that want to say, oh, well, the Son is the second person in the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit female is the third person in the Trinity, and the Father is, he's the first person. No, my dear friend. I know there's a lot of people that are falling for this lie from the Roman Vatican Jesuit-led New World Order. They're the ones that ripped it off from Egypt, from Isis and Osiris and the babe. And again, all that stuff is a lie, but he did come, the Most High, did come in the flesh as him, as the Messiah. Not a second person. He didn't send... Okay, if you want to use that for a second as an illustration, the Most High did not send a literal physical son to marry his wife, Yisrael. Because if you say the Holy Spirit is his wife, a second person female, or third person female, if you will, his wife was Yisrael, his people, in a metaphoric way. Okay? He's not going to have two separate wives. Because he's not going to do that, because it would violate his own law, and he can't contradict himself. And then, of course, the second commandment was, don't make any graven images in the heavens or in the earth. Don't bow down to them, right? When he said in the first commandment, don't have any others before me, and then he says it again in another way in Isaiah's text, he says, there's none to my right, and none to my left, there's none beside me. He's saying, look, don't worship anything else. Don't worship the heavens. Don't worship the earth. Don't worship the stars. Don't worship the sun, moon, or the stars. Don't worship creations. Worship the Creator. And he stated, the Messiah stated, I and my Father are one. He's not talking about a separate person. He's saying, I and my Spirit are one person. One person with one and the same name. That's right. Because he came in the Father's name in John chapter 5. Was the Father's name Jesus? No. Was the Father's name Jehovah? No, because there's no J. It's really Yahweh. But was the Father's name Yeshua either? No. Because He came in the Father's name. Yes, the character, power, and authority. That's all true. But the most important revelation of that aspect is that he came, the Father, the Creator, the Father of lights, Creator of all living, Father of all living. He came himself. He sent himself. He sent his word, Psalm says, and he healed us. That's right. And the word, which was the Father, people, many, again, tried to use phrases such as the word of the Lord, if you want to use the pagan term Lord, which means Baal or Baal, by the way. Unger's Christian Dictionary will tell you that. So also the Thayer's Christian Dictionary will even tell you, and they'll tell on themselves that that just means Baal or Baal worship. And of course, Baal was the one of the chief rivals and enemies of the Most High. And many, many, many people, whether it be Christians or Jews or Islam or Muslim folks, they want to call him Lord. That means Baal, which is his arch enemy. And he says in Exodus 23:13, do not speak a pagan deity's name out of your mouth. Don't let it even hurt out of your lips. So when people say, well, it doesn't matter if I call him Lord, and they continue and persist after knowing this information, or maybe they don't get a revelation, that's probably why they persist, to keep on blaspheming him indirectly. Not maybe they're not doing it intentionally. They're sincere, all right. They're sincerely wrong, though, just like I was sincerely wrong. I'm not trying to set myself up here on a pedestal. I used to do the same thing. But about over 20 years ago, I got convicted about it in my heart, my conscience. I said, man, here it is right there. He says, don't call me Lord. Don't call me God. These are all terms from pagan idols and fallen angels. God was the name for the first fallen angel, Satan. That's right. We talked about it before here on the Watchmen on the Wall broadcast many times, that the original name, or one of the original names or appellations of Satan, was Gabriel, not Gabriel, not the good angel again, but the archenemy of the Most High was Satan himself. And he, of course, he's cloaked himself by all these names on the earth with all this idolatrous practice going on. Baal was another name he went by, sun worship. That's why the whole system is a fake heliocentric system of sun worship. They want to say that the sun is the biggest thing going, and not so. It is given to us as a warmth and a light and a time device. It has nothing to do with being adored or worshipped. And yet there's so many people that are steeped into sun worship. And hence they worship on Sunday. Why is usually, you got two and a half billion Christians in the world, and you got the Protestant Christians saying they're not Catholic Christians, but yet they follow their mother Rome. And that's why they're the nominal daughters that still go to Sunday school, do the Sunday worship, which I used to. I'm not trying to set myself up, but I realized over 20 years ago, I had to get out of something that he commanded us to get out of. I know that's a real hard saying for many Christians to accept, that the faith of the apostles and the prophets and the patriarchs was never Christianity. No, never was. That's right. The apostles were only called Christians three times in the Brit Kadoshah, what they call, the New Testament. Did you know that? If it was the faith, if it was the truth, why is Christianity, the word Christian, is only mentioned three times? 2 Peter or 1 Peter, one time, then, or twice, I think it is there, in the book of Acts, chapter 11, where they says, well, the apostles were first called Christians at Antioch. Well, guess what? The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but my names will never hurt me. Well, guess what? They were called a name Christian, but they did not acknowledge that they were Christian. Because Christianity was the state-created and run religion of Constantine. It's right. The first papal pope. Same thing. I forgot an O to add. But anyhow, because the Most High does declare them to be as such, because these pagan priests that they develop in Malachi chapter, I believe, yes, chapter 3 or chapter 2, chapter 3 talks about the Most High is going to spread fecal matter. Yes, poop. That's right. The popes are the poops. The Most High is going to spread fecal matter or poop on their face. And I'm not embellishing. You read it for yourself. It's there. Malachi chapter 2 or 3. If you really don't believe me on that, you just go check that. I'm not just making a joke about it. It's a fact. The Most High is going to spread dung on the scab of the earth. The Roman cult, yes, the Roman Empire morphed into the Roman cult Catholic Christian Church. And the mother of all Christianity was Rome. That's right. And all the denominational daughters said, well, I'm not Catholic. I'm Christian. Well, okay, you're like, okay, you're not Butterscotch Baptist. You're just, you know, Pentecostal pistachio. You're not Vatican vanilla, but you're calling yourself a Baptist or calling yourself a Pentecostal pistachio or a Butterscotch Baptist. Or you go on down a loose, you know, a licorice Lutheran, however you want to call it. Because, I mean, when Martin Luther, he was a Catholic priest, by the way, Luther was. He didn't, you know, he didn't say to his followers, hey, when I die, create a new religion called the Lutheran Church, please, and name it after me and give me some props. No, 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 he didn't do that. He wasn't trying to come out of the Catholic Roman cult, the Catholic Christian Church. They were the founder of the Christian Church. I agree, but it's just not the faith of the apostle. It doesn't apply to the patriarchs. And the so-called three Abrahamic biggest religions in the world are not Abrahamic at all because they don't follow the secret. Well, they follow the secret societies, but they don't follow the order of the ancients. They don't follow the Most High's kingdom government as the sole authority and sole government to follow. They don't. They'll give lip service to it. Christianity says the law is done away with all. We don't need to follow the law of Yah, the Moses, the instructions, the Torah of Moses. We don't need to do that no more. Judaism says, oh, and the Messiah hasn't come in the flesh yet. So they're both anti-Messiah. Did you know Christianity is anti-Messiah? Oh, watch me. That's blasphemous. You're saying that on the air. How could you get away with such stuff? Oh, well, okay. Sorry for the females out there. I apologize. I didn't mean to ruffle your feathers. I love you. I'm just trying to be straight with you. Okay, that's right. Christianity was never the faith of the apostles. Christianos is Greek and Latin. He said salvation or deliverance was of the Hebrews. Big difference. He didn't say salvation's of the Talmudic Masoretic Jews either. He said the salvation was of the Hebrews. So the Jews, those who say they are and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. Twice the Messiah warned about a people who would assert the term of being from the tribe of Yada, the fourth son of Jacob Yisrael, as Judah, if you will. Hence the term Jew, which really is, again, a erroneous phrase or word because the word Jew doesn't even exist in the Hebrew. Because the letter J, again, doesn't exist in the Hebrew language to this day. And it doesn't. And for those that say, well, the New Testament's borrowed in Greek. Well, guess what? There is no letter J in Greek. Alphabets either. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know that's shocking. I know, get a cup of water. It's okay. You'll get through it. I had to get through it. In fact, for about 3 months when I started researching this stuff, oh man, I was pastoring a non-denominal, a non-denying the name of Yahweh, because I would say hallelujah, and you wouldn't be denying the name of Yah. If you know what you're saying, of course, when we were Christians, well, many would say that hallelujah means praise God or praise the Lord. No, it doesn't mean any of those pagan terms. It means praise Yahweh. That's what hallelujah means in all languages. The same. It's just everyone has their accent and inflection. It's a little different. It's a sound, but you can all make out whether they're in China, they're going to say hallelujah. Right. They're going to, if you go to Russia, they're going to say hallelujah in their Russian tone. Right. Same thing in Africa. Same thing in Canada, and Greece and Italy. They're all saying hallelujah. Why? Ever wonder why hallelujah is a universal phrase of praise to the Most High? Mm-hmm. The Most High, Almighty One. His name is Yah in the short poetic prefix, and Yahweh in the fullness of his name in the prefix and the full, the prefix and the suffix. Yahweh. That's right. Just like we went through the breathing illustration. When you inhale, exhale, when he breathed into Adam and Eve, the breath of life, he breathed into them his name, the breath of life. He was the giver of life. He was literally the breath of life. Yahweh himself, the Most High, breathed his name, which was the breath of life, the essence of life. Again, if you ran a marathon, you'd be hearing Yahweh's name in your breath. A lot of people don't even know whether they are atheistic or agnostic or they're a believer. They don't know that they're praising Yahweh's name, whether they know it or not. They're speaking Yahweh's name in their breath, in their inhale, exhale. And yet they're going off after other pagan idols. Of course, the Almighty isn't pagan. He commands us to keep away from paganism. He has the pure name, the holy name, set apart name. He is the opposite of paganism. Paganism being that which is worshipped by creation. That paganism is that which is creation that is being worshipped as a creator or as the creator, which is an abomination. That's right. You know, many call it pantheism, worshiping the trees, worshiping the creations around you that you can see. And the Most High commands us, forbids it, actually. And of course, the Most High has had mercy with us. He's been long-suffering towards us, and I'm grateful for his graciousness towards us. Because, I mean, none of us have all this down, including myself, but I do know just a little bit of some things that he showed me that we had to abstain from to be on his side. Because, again, the increase of his government, there shall be no end. So right there, and as I was saying earlier, as I was alluding to in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it states that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's right. The Most High's government is going to be upon, literally, when he came in the flesh, he holds it all in the palm of his hands. It's resting on his shoulders. Not the Atlas holding the whole pagan fake globe Earth either. Okay, that goes back to Greek mythology. Yeah, Hercules has got the whole world. He's holding it on his shoulder. No, that's not the Most High Messiah. He's holding us in the palm of his hands. He says he's got the whole world in his hands, the old diddly song when we were kids, the lullabies were sang, we went to bed, right? We used to hear our parents sing to us that. The Most High had all of us engraved in the palm of his hands. That's why he took the nails guard. That's why he allowed them to put nails through his hands, and therefore, hence, he'd have nail scarred hands. Because that's how much he loved us enough to give us a spiritual blood transfusion by allowing his blood to be spilt for our sins. What is sin, Watchman? Oh, I don't like that term. It sounds so preachy. Sounds so religious. Oh, well, I'm just a spiritual being, not a religious being. Religion is of the devil, by the way, in case you didn't know that. Religion is that which ties down and keeps people bound. We're called to be free thinkers, true seekers. We're not called to be bound. We're called to be free thinkers. Free and free indeed. And when the Messiah, the Son of Man, the Most High Messiah, who called himself the Son of Man, has set you free, he said, you're free indeed. That's right. I mean, that's pretty free. When you're free indeed, you're free indeed. You can't be brought into captivity again either. That's why I've been playing the last few weeks broadcasts, I've been praying about it, but I've been playing on revolution.radiofreelift.com, the Watchman on the Wall broadcast here, these books that help us get free and give us a promise of true freedom in the end, and also escape from this Roman cult COVID-19 production that they put on the last 2.5 years. If you didn't know, they are, over 2.5 years. Wow. Can you believe it's been that long already? Wow. Indeed. And they did it to bring us back into the dark ages, to take everyone's freedoms. That's right. That's their goal. And they hide behind third parties and countries, right? Princes they hide behind, and kings and prime ministers and presidents and queens. Oh, well, queen of nothing. Only king of all kings is the Most High. Queen. It's a patriarchal rule in Yah's kingdom, not a matriarchy. Okay? His kingdom, though, is made up of kings and priests. And to the sisters out there, he does in one place calls the sisters queens and priestesses. So let me, set it straight here. Get it more accurate. Excuse me. So, but there is no queen over any body. There is no king over any body. It's all a fiction playing out as reality. The only king is the King of Kings, not just a king, singular king. The Most High Messiah is called the King of all kings, the wannabe kings, because he said his kingdom was made up of those who are in his kingdom. He says, my children are all kings and queens and priests and priestesses, that no one's ruling over anybody. Whereas in the secular seat of Cain, Vatican, the serpent seat of Cain goes to the Vatican. That's right. American. See your serpent seat of Cain. In case you didn't know it. All the government's men are serpent seat of Cain. Be right back here on the Watchman on the Wall Bug. Yes, sir. Stay tuned. Revolution Now Radio.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio, Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's hyphen, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
And their carcasses. Do ye suppose that ye are different? For he who spared unto Messiah the Father, and do ye not know, lift up your hearts at the ending of the work, and do ye not, or did not our fathers prophesy that we would be preserved? And by what means were we preserved according to the promises of the Father? Behold, we were preserved by the coming unto Messiah, the Son of the Most High. And not only did we come unto Messiah, the Son of the Most High, but we did come unto Messiah, the Father. And do ye not know that you cannot come unto Messiah, the Father, until you come unto Messiah, the Son? For behold, the work of the Father is above the work of the Son, and it cannot commence until the work of the Son is completed in you. And then, and not until they, until then, can the work of the Father commence, for thus it is. Amen. It is so. Chapter 2. And behold, did not Messiah Yahweh tell our fathers with his own mouth that the work of the Father would commence amongst all nations to the preservation of our souls, both temporally and spiritually, but first spiritual and then temporally, which is the beginning of the work, and again, first temporally and then spiritually, which is the ending of the work. And do ye now know that the commencement of the work of the fathers is the consummation of the work of the fathers, is the consummation of the work of the Son? And these things have been hid up from you because of your unbelief in the work of the Son, but now are they to be manifest to you? If not all, then a select few, that you might be blessed even as we were. For behold, the work of the Father did commence among us, those who did believe and fulfill the law of the Son. For no one can come unto the Father except by the way of the Son. And the commencement of the work of the Father is the commencement of the work of the fathers, by which we were all gathered into one great whole, even the fathers in heaven,
did go about gathering us into themselves until we were all one with them. And thus are the promises of the fathers fulfilled on the heads of the children, that we might all be gathered into them. And by this means are the promises fulfilled. And thus did the fathers, who are the Shulemna, minister to us who had gathered out of the world for the safety of our souls, who had gathered us out of the world for the safety of our souls. And thus did we, when the work of the Father had been fulfilled, become Shulemna and go about the land gathering others until all was fulfilled. Behold, the work of the Father was fulfilled on the one hand to the salvation of our souls, both temporally and spiritually. And on the other hand, the work of the devil was fulfilled, for he did claim all that were his, and he did reign with blood and horror on the earth. And thus were the prophecies of Nephi fulfilled, for he did truly see our day, and we both have truly seen yours, O ye nations, for in every nation it is the same, that the time will come when that nation is ripe in iniquity, that there must need be an entire separation of the righteous from the wicked, and the righteous will he preserve unto the salvation of their souls, and then are the wicked left to the destruction which bringeth on the abomination that makes desolate, that maketh desolate. Gather ye out, O ye nations, gather ye out, that the work of the fathers might commence in you. Yea, in the name of Yahweh, Mashiach, the Father and the Son, gather ye out, that all the promise and mighty works of Yah might be fulfilled. Behold, I say unto you, who hath started to come unto Messiah the Son, come ye unto Messiah the Father also. For did I not tell you in words of plainness that if you would come unto Messiah the Son, then would the greater things become manifest unto you? And it is because of your unbelief that the greater things have not come unto you. Behold, the greater things are the works of the Father, which are unfolded unto all those who come. Yea, they are unfolded by the fathers themselves. And it is for this reason that Yah did promise the sending of Elijah to plant in the hearts of the children the promises made to the fathers. And it is by the spirit and power of Elijah, who is one of the Shulemna, that the hearts of the children do turn to the fathers, lest they be smitten and wasted at the coming of Yahweh. And behold, the time is nigh at hand for the coming of Yahweh. Therefore, O ye nations, turn ye unto the fathers. Yea, turn ye, O ye my little ones, turn ye unto the fathers, that ye might be blessed with the fulfilling of the promise. And behold, as I did go forth and minister to bring others into the work of the fathers, there began to be great peace in my soul. Yea, I did mourn the loss of my loved ones no more. For I began to find others whose hearts and minds were changed into the service of our Most High Yah, and our hearts were sealed together as one wherever we did go. And thus we and I journeyed about over all the face of the land, traveling in our consciousness, for there was nothing that pertained to that old world that we could not see, and there was nothing that could encumber us, for we did have power over all things, so that no ravenous beast or poisonous serpent could attack us, for we had overcome the fear in our hearts towards the animals, and thus their fear and enmity towards us was gone. And when we came upon a Lamanite or an enemy, they would not see us, but would pass by within touching distance, and would not behold our presence
Welcome back, everyone, to the Watchman on the Wall broadcast. I'm the Watchman here on Revolution.Radio, FreedomBliss.com, one of the freest places to be here. Thanks for the second hour, returning back for the second hour. And what you heard there was a excerpt from the writings of Moroni, as I've played several times on the broadcast, a little bit more detailed of of the end, not just his day, which was between 400 and 500 AD when he's speaking there. I was doing the audio book there, and Moroni is speaking, and I'm just reading what he had wrote, and he is telling us about the true faith. He's really telling us the true faith of all of those who believe in Messiah, Yahweh of Nazareth, the one born in Bethlehem again. He talked about there, and if you in that excerpt of 3 or 4 or 5 minute clip there, that they would have power literally over the beasts of the field, and if their enemies came near them, that those enemies of theirs would not even behold them or even see them, because they had experienced this change that the Most High Messiah promised to all believers. For all you believers out there in Messiah, it's not just only, even though that's a prerequisite, of course, to believe, have faith in Messiah, Yahweh of Nazareth, and of course, repentance and getting baptized in the Messiah, Yahweh of Nazareth, that's all needed. And you can do it yourself. You can baptize yourself in a live body of water in a fully immersed situation. And that would be the work of the Son, as he talked about the work of the Son. You have to experience that before you can get this change to be in the work of the Father, which is the gathering of all of the Father's children from the north, south, east, and west. Of course, that's not talking about two different people. It's talking about two different offices or two different aspects of the one Almighty Messiah, Yahweh of Nazareth. And so the work of the Son, you have to have that first in your life. When he came in the flesh, the Most High Father, when he came in the flesh as a Son, repentance, he said, except a man or a woman be born of the water and of the Spirit, he can't see the kingdom of heaven. That's right there in the book of John. I didn't say that. He said that. And it's not talking about going through your mother's womb and the water bursts there. But once you experience that, and you receive the baptism of the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in a heavenly language as the Spirit gives the utterance, according to Acts 2:38, and Isaiah 28, 11 and 12, and Mark 16, 16 through 19, and Acts chapter 19, 1 through 6, you can see some evidence, at least two or three witnesses there to support what I'm saying, that the Most High's government mandate tells us that a man or a woman must, not maybe, but must be born of water and of Spirit. Of course, Christianity is born again. Well, no, born from above. Okay, that's the better apropos term, because born again is used in many Freemasons and secret society type fake, heathen evil rituals that Rome created to hide behind. Mm-hmm. And take the heat off them. And so the Most High did tell us, when he came in the flesh as the Messiah, he told us that straight is the gate and narrow is the way and few be there that find it. It wasn't going to be a popular route. It wasn't going to be the most pleasing road to the carnal man, this carnal flesh, this carnal nature that we all wear. Paul even talked about it like this. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? There's no good thing that dwelleth in this flesh that we all wear. That's why he says later on, when you read the writings of Moroni, if you want a copy of it, you can just Google it, DuckDuckGo it, whatever search engine you want. You just type in two words, rejected Moroni, two words. Rejected space Moroni, M-O-R-O-N-I, and it'll be a weebly page, first few, you'll see it. Read it, 15 chapters of anointed prophecy. That word prophecy we touched on earlier, the first hour, a little bit about how the testimony of the Messiah, Yahweh of Nazareth, is a spirit of prophecy. And so this book, that audio book that we did and that we're reading, the writings of Moroni, is prophetic. In fact, this writings of Moroni that we just, again, read an excerpt from is called a double prophecy in the words of Moroni. Another book but it's also the same author, Moroni, the Most High's member of the Shulemna. The Shulemna, for those that are wondering, what's the Shulemna? What's this book talking about? Watch me. Shulemna were the messengers of light. That's what the word Shulemna, that's the fathers in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, right there in the Tanakh, last book in your King Jimmy Bible, if you want to look that up, or any English translation generally. Malachi is the last book in Tanakh. Usually it's originally it was Second Chronicles, but Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, the Most High Messiah, before he comes, before the great and terrible day of his second appearing on the earth in the flesh. Okay, in the flesh. The first time in the flesh, he sent John the Baptist before he came in the flesh in Bethlehem, right? The second time he's coming, he said he's going to send some more books first to help us understand what it meant to be in Messiah. Remember, it says to live in this world, we want to live in Messiah. How do you get in Messiah? People want to say, well, you have to, we can't do exactly what he did. Obviously, can't die for the sins of the world. No human flesh and blood body could ever, ever eradicate a human dilemma. That's right. It takes a divine sacrifice to eradicate a human dilemma called sin. What is sin, Watchman? Answer the question. Okay. Sin is the transgression of Yah's government mandates. It's funny how human beings want to follow man's mandate and the COVID mandates. You know, lockdowns, what they all experience, you know. Funny would put the mask on real quick. Oh, don't tell me about the word of Yah. I don't want to hear any of that stuff. You'll follow man's mandates, won't you? Oh, man. Everything's backwards. Everything's backwards, generally speaking. I mean, who would you rather follow? I mean, who would you rather obey? I mean, you're going to obey something, right? But the Most High's mandate was to come out from among them, be separate. Say, Yahweh, touch not the unclean thing. He also said in Revelation, the book of Revelation is a popular topic now. And you won't understand the book of Revelation unless you get into the writings of Moroni and the words of Moroni and the sealed book of Moses and the Acts of the Three Nephites and the 12 apostles of Moses in the Promised Land. Those four books have just been released the last 3.5 years. Because the Most High said in the last days he'd give us more books will be added to the righteous. And it would be a point of rejoicing, not a point of contention, as many would contend, saying there's only 66 books, Watchmen. Well, you go ahead. I believe in all of them. They're all right from the original Hebrew, but not from their Greek-Latin corruption. And that's 33 degree to the second power, right? 33 times 2 is what? 66. Why did they stop at 66 books in the King Jimmy second, third version when the first version had 80 or 81 books? And within those extra 15 books of the 81, there was a book called Second Ezra, chapter 14, talks about there was 204 books just in the Tanakh, or what they called Old Testament, erroneously. That's right. There was 204 books in the Tanakh, at least, according to 2 Ezra chapter 14. And that was in the first King James for all the King Jimmy Bible-only believers out there. You think there's just King James only authorized? The first King James was authorized to let you read 2 Ezra. In fact, it's kind of laughable. How are you going to let an evil guy named King James tell you what to read in the first place? The Most High's word in government, not King James Version, not the NIV, whatever. All the, it's what Yah's word is in the heavens and the stars before it got to quill to parchment or pen to paper, way before. So don't let the books and people's disillusionment with books and religion. Oh, he had his word written in the heavens for us and the stars, so we wouldn't be deceived. And so these books that I'm reading lately, the writings of Moroni, the words of Moroni, are some of the books that are found from the seed of Joseph. These are prophets from Joseph's line. That's right. Joseph's line, you can read about it in Deuteronomy chapter 33. In Deuteronomy 33, it talks about, these are the thousands of Manasseh. You can read it in chapter 33, verse 16, 17. And they would live off the buffalo, and all the nations of the earth would be pushed to their land and no other people. And I've got two tribes in me that I can recognize that we are from a part of the tribe of the house of Joseph. And Manasseh split in half. And Manasseh came, this was Joseph's son. One of his tribes' son was literally Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh became half of them anyhow, became the thousands of Manasseh were the tribes in the North, South, and Central American continents, what they call today. That's right. Who could claim to have that fulfillment of as a people and as a landmass of their locale of where they live, where they inhabit? None other but the thousand tribes from whether it be you know, whether it be Cherokee, whether it be, and you just keep on naming tribes. There's over 1,000 of them. Manitowoc, you can go on and on and on. There's so many. Apache. Of course, I'm not saying that it's a race thing. It's not. It's a grace thing. But what I'm saying is that the lost sheep of the house of Israel, in John chapter 10, that he talks about the Messiah, Most High Messiah, he tells us that he only came for the lost sheep of the house of Yisrael. Yisrael is a fake counterfeit. Yisrael, more apropos. So the lost sheep of the house of Yisrael lost their identity as the Gentiles, or they would end up being heathen, Gentile nations, or identifying in a heathen way, or living the crazy life, or the heathen pagan life, or heathen life. Now, I know a lot of people like the terms heathen and pagan, and I get that, but the problem is that I wouldn't want to be the definition of a heathen or a pagan by what the Most High's word defines it as, which is being apart from the Most High's government and following something that is going to lead you into a bad way in the end of days. The Most High tells us over and over in his word, he tells us that he wants a set apart people. And that set apart people is called his bride, Yisrael, bride being metaphorically a bride. He is the bridegroom, the husband. He says in Isaiah, thy husband is thy maker. Thy maker is thy husband. And his only bride was Yisrael. And he divorced Yisrael in Jeremiah chapter 3. You can read about it. But he promised that he would come in the flesh and die because he divorced Yisrael. And so a woman was bound to her husband so long as her husband liveth. But if he die, she is free to marry another. And so the Most High loved his wife, but because she went into a spiritual idolatrous practice of spiritual adultery, spiritual fornication, worshiping Baal, all these other pagan and Asherah poles and all these things that you see today in these pagan obelisks all over Washington District of Criminals. That's right. Why? It's all over. It's all over the world. And the Most High said, I love you. I got my eye on you, Yisrael. Even though you've fallen short, even though you backslid from me, even though you turned your heart from me, I'm going to bring you back and I'm going to come in the flesh and I'm going to die so I can take you to myself. Because, of course, the Almighty can't die in a spirit capacity because his spirit never died. But when he came in the flesh, that's what died. Flesh and blood and bone, dent and body. That was perfect flesh and blood. Divine flesh and blood, not human flesh and blood. It was no human sacrifice. All these pagan trinities, fake trinity, that's an oxymoron. Trinity is fake. The fake trinity. Trinity doesn't even exist in the word of Yah. In the word trinity, we can't even find in the original text at all. It comes from a Latin meaning. Latin language, the mystery of Babylon had a mystery of iniquity, which is lawlessness. That was the Roman Empire / morphed into the Roman Catholic Christian Church, and all their denominal daughters of Protestant Christianity follow. They take it very much. They follow their mother Rome. They worship on Sunday. Still say Jesus, Lord God, Jehovah, and Christmas, and Easter, etc., etc. Oh, but everyone else is wrong but us. But they all say the same things. They just do a little different strokes for different folks. They just do it a little different way. But they still follow the lawless message of, oh, we don't need to keep all these Sabbaths and feasts that you're talking about, the Feast of Trumpets tomorrow. We don't need to do that no more, watchmen. Okay, well then, you don't have to. I'm not forcing you. The Most High tells us that's his government. That's his law. He says, you know, why would you want to do pagan Easter beast or feasts of sex and fertility rites of, you know, little bunnies, multiplicity, showing you a sexual fertility rites symbol? You know, he didn't resurrect Easter Sunday. He resurrected on the Feast of First Fruits. That's the true feast, by the way, when he resurrected. He died on Passover. was buried before the Feast of Unleavened Bread began on the 15th. Then on the 16th, the next day was the Feast of First Fruits. He was the first fruits of those that slept from the dead, the Apostle Shaul or Paul said. Yeah, you can read that in Corinthians. You see? So the devil's got counterfeits and hypocrites try to assert authority over these so-called feasts that man keep today, and they're all pagan general and heathen. So why not just replace the false feast? You give, Yah says, okay, I'll give you the true feast. You don't have to follow the false feast no more. That's why the whole calendar on your walls of lies. Like I said, it's a time warp, people. The time warp. It's a warp of time. It's the thinking to change the times, the days, and the years that Daniel warned about, as I alluded to. Daniel said there'd be this little horn, this Roman beast, this papacy, named even after a pope. A pope, papacy, the papal court. Jews were employed to, the Masoretic Jews were employed to manipulate the Tanakh because they didn't understand it. And so modern Judaism was really a creation of Rome, just like Islam was a modern creation of Rome in 600 to 700 AD. And the fake Judaism, Masoretic Judaism, all of that, the Talmudic Judaism specifically, was created between 300 to 500 AD. And, of course, Roman Catholicism or Christianity, you know, Roman Catholic Christian Church was a state religion adopted by Constantine in 325, right? And the Roman Empire was ruling that a century the Messiah was born. It's even 4 BC, and then in the next century, he was ruling. They were ruling, Rome was. And so they're the ones that thought to change times, days. They could only think. They couldn't actually do. They couldn't change time. They could only think to change time. That's right. And so, for every counterfeit or hypocrite, they're still the real McCoy. They're still true feasts to keep, not the fake feast, Christmas and Easter. And you can go on and on, Valentine's Day, you know, and all this other stuff. Halloween. Come on. That's full of the devil.
Oh, Watchman, that's offensive.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to offend you. It's not my intention. I got no one in mind. I got no axe to grind. I'm just speaking from my heart and just passionate. Just don't mistake my passion to be demeaning. I'm not trying to demean anybody. Again, I got no one in mind. And no axe to grind. Because he said that, look, if you continue in my word, then you are indeed my disciple. He promised us that if we continue in his word, we'd be his true disciple. In other words, his word is not just 66 books, even though I believe in them from the original Hebrew and Aramaic. It's just, you can't stop at 66 books. When it was 81, and then the 81, those extra 15 there, said there was 204, just 204 books, Ezra said in 2nd Ezra chapter 14. After 40 days and 40 nights of Ezra prophesying and restoring Yah's word that the Babylonians destroyed with fire and burned all the manuscripts, Ezra, whose name means help, by the way. He's basically offering himself to help. He's offering to help bring back what the Babylonians had destroyed of Yah's written word. And Yah promised, even through Isaiah 29, Ezekiel 37, John 10:10, the stick of Joseph, which is his word through the seed of Joseph, would be on this land here, what they call the lower 48, and also in Central America as well, North America and Central America, okay, and probably even South America, of course, because we know there's over 1,000 tribes representing the house of Joseph as the thousands of Manasseh. That's why when you hear some of the native dances and they go, and you go to a powwow, and I've been to several, you'll hear them sing and even sound out. And we even got a bumper on Revolution.Radio Freedom Blips. I think it's Zen's broadcast. And you'll hear them say, yah, yah, yah. Why? It's because the Father of Lights, the Most High, Yahweh. Hallelujah. Yah being the short poetic prefix of the Father, Yahweh's name. Yahweh being the full form. Yah. Not Jah, but Yeah. I mean, Bob Marley got close. I mean, it's closer than Christianity. All they say is God, Lord, Jesus, and Jehovah. And they might even say hallelujah at times. Of course, you hear them say. But they don't even know what they're saying. Generally. 99.9% of the time. They'll say, oh, it means praise the Lord, like I was saying earlier. Oh, praise God. No, it means praise Yahweh. And why is Yah or Hallelujah the same in all languages? Of course, everyone has their inflective dialect, as I stated. It's because the Most High wanted to let us know that his name would be easy to remember. He said he left his name as a memorial to all generations in that, the book of Exodus. That's right. The book of Shemot in the Hebrew, what we call Exodus, the Most High said he would leave his name a memorial for all generations. And that memorial, how is that memorial displayed, Watchman? Well, that memorial, in one way, it's displayed is in that universal phrase of hallelujah. Yeah. Which means praise Yah, or praise Yahweh in the full form of his name. Praise Yah, hallelujah, in the short poetic prefix form of it. That's why the prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Obadiah, Hezekiah. Right? Hallelujah. It's the highest mountains in the world, the Himalaya. So it's the highest trees in the world, the Sequoia. Right? Again, you inhale. What's the most prettiest islands in the world that people want to go to 9 times out of 10? It's Yahweh. Hawaii backwards is Yahweh because the I had the I sound or the Y sound. Iowa is also another state that defines or helps give us evidence to determine Yahweh's name. He said, the heavens and the earth declare the glory of Yahweh's name. That's right, the heavens and the earth. And we're all got this treasure in earth and vessels. And when we inhale, exhale, the most powerful one of it all is when you breathe in and breathe out and inhale, exhale. And that's the only name to be baptized in. This is the work of the Messiah. Getting baptized, repentance or baptism in his name and faith in it and repentance, turning away from breaking the Torah, breaking the Yah's government laws or mandates, as I like to talk about it as, because Isaiah 9:6 confirms it as such. The government shall be upon the Messiah's shoulders. Name or appellation will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Almighty, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, yeah. And Melchizedek is called the Prince of Peace, but yet the Messiah is called the Prince of Peace. There can't be two Prince of Peace unless the Messiah is Melchizedek, which he is. And this Melchizedek priesthood, this order of Enoch, this order that the writings of Moroni talk about that we all have to be in, that's the true faith of the apostles. They were the watchmen, which meant they were the Netzarim, which were the watchmen. He said, we are the branches that he was divine. He was divine that we are the branches. The word branches there is Netzarim, which meant the literal watchman. Remember he said, watch and pray. Okay. So, again, Christianity couldn't have been the faith of the apostles. It was a Roman invention. He said salvation was of the Hebrews, not of the Latins. Even though he gives salvation to Latin people, brings salvation and deliverance to Italian people. I'm not trying to bash anybody. I'm just saying he said, you know, he loves everybody. Red, yellow, black, or white, and brown. Folks all over the world, he loves every color skin. He, you know, like Joseph's coat of many colors. Remember? Yaakov, Yisrael, the patriarch, had 12 sons, became known as the 12 tribes, and 11th of oldest of the 12 was Yosef, who had 2 sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. That Yaakov, Yisrael said, hey, my grandsons are now I'm going to give them a son portion. As my son, I'm going to treat them as my son, like you, Joseph, and I'm going to let them be a part of the 12 tribes of Yisrael. And they became known as what? The natives later on, the half-tribe of Manasseh at least. I mean, of course, there's all the nations of the earth. That's what the word Ephraim was, another son of Joseph. And the word Ephraim means literally, double fruitful. It also means in Hosea, if you read the book of Amos and also the book of Hosea, you'll see that it says that Ephraim has mixed himself with the nations. And the house of Yisrael was also synonymously known as the house of Ephraim. The house of Joseph was also another synonymous term. The northern kingdom of Yisrael was known as Ephraim, also known as the house of Joseph. Mm-hmm. And the southern kingdom became known as the house of Judah or Yada. And they became 2 separate nations. When they split apart, because Solomon sinned so greatly, the Most High divided up the kingdom and said, okay, your son is only going to get, you know, your son, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, your son and your servant are going to be now heirs to the only two tribes that I'm going to leave you. And the northern kingdom is going to have 10 tribes, 9.5 tribes technically, and then 2.5 for the southern kingdom of Judah or Yada. And the northern kingdom became known as the house of Joseph, the house of, or Yosef with the Y, which is original, and the house of Ephraim. But it says that Ephraim, the northern kingdom of Yisrael, has mixed himself with the nations. So the lost sheep of the house of Yisrael that the Messiah said he only came for, he didn't say, I come to start a new religion and let Rome be the mother of my church. No. Church wasn't even his assembly. The church was a Roman invention. It was a counterfeit. It was the realm of deception. Church Circe. It was a pagan idol of the female idol that would eat up literally in their mythology anybody that would come into her meetings. That's what Circe. That's how you get the word church. That's why you feel like you're disillusioned with religion, because Most High Messiah doesn't want you in religion. He's calling you out of it. He says, come out of her, my people. Come out from among them. Be separate. Say, Yahweh, touch not the unclean thing. And I'll receive you unto myself, and you'll be my sons and daughters. And his sons and daughters are known as the house of Yisrael, also known as the house of Yosef, the northern side. Mm-hmm. House of Ephraim. And Manasseh, okay, was another son of Yosef. And half of the tribe of Manasseh broke off, like I stated, and they came to the lower 48 and also Central America and all the Americas. They mixed themselves with the nations. It says it right there in Amos and Hosea, I believe, one or the other. And so he's only come for the lost sheep of the house of Yisrael. But see, but Christians, I'm not Israelite. No, I'm not born. It's not about race. It's about grace. It's about taking a hold of Yah's government and then Yah's engrafting you back into his government kingdom. And he said his kingdom was a kingdom of kings and priests and queens and priestesses. Mm-hmm. But no one's ruling over everybody. No one's ruling over anybody. That's the opposite of the pagan kings and queens of the world. They try to rule everybody, control everybody. And Most High said, no. I'm your king of all kings. And my nation, my people, my children are kings and priests and queens and priestesses. And there's no one over anybody. In fact, those that are the greatest among you, he said, would be those would be your servant. Those would serve you. In other words, the way up to Yah is down on your knees. Didn't say, you know, you put your chest out and I'm going to take charge and I'm going to be the leader. All this secular corporatism where they go from the top down when the Most High's kingdom is from the bottom up. Big difference. Everything's backwards. Like that. So, the writings of Moroni, and I played that for a reason, to let you know that there's more to being born from above. You know, we have to receive the first fruits of the Spirit. Absolutely, it's in the book of Ephesians. But Moroni says, don't think just because you got the first fruits of the Spirit that you've got salvation in total. He's saying to us in the writings of Moroni, and he's a Hebrew prophet from the tribe of Manasseh. He's a part of the Shulemna. And he didn't even know about this before he became a part of the Shulemna, the messengers of light, being grafted into the fathers of Yisrael. The order of Enoch, also known as the Melchizedek priesthood. And that's why Messiah said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he did see my day because he saw me as Melchizedek, because it really wasn't another person with another name. It was a title. Melchizedek literally means king of peace or king of shalom, king of peace and king of righteousness. Right? Hebrews 7 says that he's without mother, without father. Melchizedek is without descent, without lineage. And see, the Almighty Father, the Creator, could not have any lineage. He's not a part of the creation. He didn't come down to be like us. He came down so we could be like him. None of us want a savior like me or you. No. No human flesh and blood, no human being. See, that human sacrifice was condemned all throughout his government mandates and Torah instructions and kingdom law. But again, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, they're all anti-Messiah. Why do you say that, Watchman? Because they have a different Messiah. Or they don't think the Messiah has come. Or they think he's just a prophet. You know, he's a good man, but he's not, you know, I mean, it's like, that's all anti-Messiah. Anti-Messiah can take on so many forms and facets and, I guess, functions. Anti means instead of or replacing or that which opposes, right? And so to confess that Yahweh, the Almighty Father, came in the flesh as the Son of Man, as the Messiah, that would be true Messiah. But to say he's a second person and he's got a third person as a wife physically, spiritually, I should say, and a physical illustration they want to use it as, which is erroneous, with all due respect, is blasphemy, because the Most High wants us to understand who he is, because to be in this priesthood, this, remember he says, and it's not too far-fetched, folks. It's not far-fetched at all. It's right there in the kingdom mandate of Yah's government. He says it right there in Peter. He says it, that we are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. That's how he says it. That we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He didn't just call us out just to call us out. He didn't just bring us out just to bring us out. He brought us out to bring us into something, not just to leave us hanging. He said, I'm going to bring you direction. I'm going to bring you purpose. I'm going to give you. That's really what's happened. So the writings of Moroni, as I was talking about, to digress, he's trying to let us know that when you receive this, remember, we all know, not we all, but some who follow the word of Yah, as the government to follow, the only government to come out of all men-made serpent seed of Cain governments of 194, 200 countries. The book of Revelation clearly says this, that he's going to seal us. He is. Remember, he sends the angels of Yah from the four corners of the earth to gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. That's right. He does say that in Revelation 14. But he sends first, before the great and terrible day, the second coming of Messiah Yahweh of Nazareth, he sends first, like he sent John the Baptist first before him, like I said, as a forerunner. He's going to send his second coming, and it's very imminent, folks. A lot more nearer than we think. He's going to send Elijah the prophet, who Moroni writes about and says he's a member of the Shulamna, and that Yah has given him the keys, like Moses got the keys, and Elijah got the keys, and they were transfigured with the Messiah on the mount. Remember, and the apostles beheld them right there in the brick kind of shower with the erroneous to call the New Testament. That's who the two witnesses are, according to Moroni writings. Writings of Moroni say it's Moses and Elijah. Of course, Enoch is going to be, Yah used him as the founder of the city of Zion, and Zion's coming down out of heaven because Enoch never died. He says the book of Enoch, the order of Enoch. Remember, Moses was the one that had interceded for Yisrael when Yah was going to wipe him off the mat. Moses intercedes, said, don't destroy them. Don't blot them out. If you're going to do that, you can blot me out too. That's how much mercy and love he loved people. Yah's people, he loved them. And so Yah said, I'm going to use Moses and Elijah to gather my elect. And so he gives Moses the key, and he gives the gathering, as well as Elijah, the key to the gathering. Enoch plays a huge role because he's a leader of the city of Zion initially. And of course, they all worship Yahweh only. And Enoch taught the people such. And that's why this order is known as the Order of Enoch, which was really the priesthood of Messiah before it was known as the Order of Enoch. Then it became known as the Order or the priesthood of Melchizedek, which is really the priesthood of Messiah, because that's the one and the same person. And they're both are not two separate people. They're just both, they're two different offices. Both offices, not both persons, but both offices of Melchizedek and Messiah are one and the same. That's right. You can read it in Revelation, or excuse me, Hebrews chapter 7, as I mentioned. That Melchizedek, and you can read this in the book of Melchizedek, which is the largest Dead Sea Scroll found in 1948. You can go to Google Play or Google Play and type in Book of Melchizedek or Melchizedek Book or Melchizedek Scroll. And you'll see that book. And in that book, you'll see, again, it's the largest Dead Sea Scroll found in the Qumran caves there. 1948, when that little Bedouin young man found it. Young boy found it. Clay pots. Remember, the rocks are crying out and said, if we hold the priest peace, the rocks will cry out. So the archaeological digs and findings would cry out more truth for us in the end of days. For more books will be added to the righteous, like Enoch says in chapter 104 and 105 of his first book of Enoch. That more books will be added. And the rocks are crying out. The archaeological findings and digs, and Yahweh's name is written on so many Native American tribes' landmarks and lances. That's right, with Yod Heh Wah Heh, or Yahweh's name. Again, that's why they would say, Yah. Even though they got into paganism and heathenism too, I get that. Yah never took his name off of our people's lips. But in Christianity, the closest they get to saying Yahweh's name on their lips is hallelujah when they don't even know what they're saying. Generally speaking, majority, 99 times out of 100 or so, don't know this generally. So the writings of Moroni is critical to understand the seals of the book of Revelation, because the first appearance of three time periods that Yah will reveal more information, more books, is in 1830 when the record of the Nephites came forth. And of course, the LDS cult hijacked it. Gave Mormon a bad name. The Book of Mormon was one of the books of the record of the Nephites, of the 15 books there, as I've stated many times on the broadcast. And then they put that on the cover. But it has nothing to do with the LDS cult church. I tell people, stay out of the church, of any church, whether it be LDS, Roman cult, LDS cult, just read the book. Stay away from their buildings. You are the building. Your body's a temple. My body's a temple. Our bodies are the temple of the Most High. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He dwells in our hearts. He dwells in the temple of our body. And so we have to get this change, the spirit of our, we get the first fruits of the spirit, where he renews our heart and our spirit. And puts the things that we used to hate, now we love. And the things we used to love, we hate. He changes and gives us a heart of flesh. That's the first fruits of the Spirit. That's the ministry or the work of the Son. And repentance and being baptized in Yahweh, the Messiah's name. That's the work of the Son aspect of the ministry. To get into Melchizedek priesthood is the work of the fathers. Where Elijah the prophet, it's the work of the Father who sends the fathers, plural, the patriarchs in Malachi 4:2, to turn the hearts of the children, the sons and daughters, back to the fathers, plural, which were the patriarchs, going back to the original faith of the apostles and all the prophets and all the patriarchs, was the order of Enoch, again, also known as the Melchizedek priesthood. This Melchizedek priesthood is the vehicle mechanism to deliver the righteous in the end of days. Only assembly to be a part of, to have hope in this life of eternal life after this whole thing concludes and wraps up and the Most High brings his judgment. That's right. This Melchizedek priesthood is the vehicle mechanism, and the writings of Moroni talk about it. The words of Moroni calls the writings of Moroni, which preceded the sealed book of Moses, which is in the sealed book or a sealed portion of the Book of Mormon. Because in the 15 books of the Book of Mormon, there's a book called that he had more, that he needed more to be in the kingdom. That's right. Moroni, when he wrote in his writings of Moroni, in those 15 chapters, he didn't even know that this was needed to be delivered. Even in the years of between 400 and 500 AD when he wrote this, it didn't matter what generation, what people, wherever they were on the face of the earth, there was judgment coming on the land. And that every government, if you studied it generally, all collapse. And then another one takes over. But before it collapsed, the Most High sends his elect to gather his elect, the elect first elect being I mentioned, the Shulem, the messengers of light, to gather. Because remember, the wickedness of Cain was so bad that they left. The Melchizedek priesthood left, but it was the first priesthood. And the first shall be last in the end of days, the last days, the vehicle mechanism in which Yah changes our flesh, because we get the first fruits of the Spirit. We believe in the Messiah. Hallelujah. That's the work of the Son. But to get to the work of the Father, you have to get sealed, because no flesh and blood can inherit in its corruptibility, in its current state of degradation and eroding and decomposing as we daily age. Your flesh has to change, because no man can see him and live. People are saying, well, I'll get my glorious body after he comes. No, no, no. If you don't get some type of alteration before you get the final change, not denying that, but there's an alteration of your flesh. It has to be renewed to be able to see him and live in this kingdom of Yah in the end of days. That's right. So I encourage you to read the writings of Moroni, the words of Moroni. And I played the whole book of the words of Moroni a few weeks ago. If you really want more information, you can always Skype me at Watchman. Just one word, two words is one, Watchman. And I'll be glad to respond. And thanks for those that have. But if anybody's new and they haven't heard this before, I don't want to leave you hanging. There is so much more than what you've been told. Just like he says in Isaiah, what they have not heard, they will consider. And that which has not been told them, they will literally consider. And I hope you're prayerfully considering some of this information, because a lot of people are losing their hope. They're losing their faith because they're so downcast of this end time scenario that we're seeing all these tyrannical systems rise up their head, all joined together and wanting to destroy their people. Some more, some less, some obviously more than others. But nevertheless, they're all agreeing. It's all mask them and shoot them up, and it's still, you know, put them in a lockdown. And you think, oh, well, watch me. That's already over. We're not doing that no more. We're not. Really? Hey, did you know they got this under contract? Who is they? The powers that shouldn't be, you know, the Roman COVID-19 sponsors. That's who sponsored this. Our roads lead to Rome. Ain't no lie. And you're not going to have the ability to escape the things that are coming. They want to shoot everybody on the earth with this mark of the beast. Again, I'm not saying everyone took the shot. It's the mark of the beast. If it's a water saline shot, well, then hallelujah. Glad for you. Don't do anymore. Didn't rewrite your DNA. And that's the fatal aspect of one meaning of several meanings of the mark of the beast, or at least one or two more meanings than just one that we're familiar with. Oh, there's a right hand and forehead. That right hand means agreement. Shake on it. Sign your name into it. Before you take that shot, people had to sign themselves. It was a right hand of agreement. Right hand meant arm in Hebrew. Hand is arm. Arm is hand in Hebrew. So it's up on the upper arm is the shots, right? And it rewrites your DNA if you take the junk. That's right. I hate to say it. And then they take the Yah gene out, that CEO of the pagan corporations of the big four says, oh, we can rewrite the DNA. We'll call it gene therapy, though. Sounds more therapeutic. No, it's gene sabotage. Someone called it a genetic gene sabotage, something like that. And Most High wants us. If you want him, I ain't going to force you. Oh, watch, but that's just your truth. It's spiritual, not religious. It's spiritual. Remember, he's the father of all spirits. He flooded the earth with spirits on the earth, the Most High did. And we're all spirits. Okay? So we're spiritual beings, not called to be religious beings. And it's sad to say the majority, though, of spirit beings try to get into religious being status, which is really kind of an impossibility. They're under religion, which is that which ties down and keep people bound. This message that I'm trying to share with you folks is it will set you free. It'll make you free, more captive again, but being made free. When the Son of Man has set you free, you're free indeed. You can't be enslaved ever again. And that's what this priesthood does, is it gives us a renewing of our flesh. It gives us a flesh that's able to withstand death. That he says, Moroni goes on to write, and he says, He says, pray that you see us, because right now you can't see us in this flesh that's currently hindering us to see spiritually in the full form. We have to have a transfusion, an infusion of light, of the golden oil from the golden candlestick that pours out from the Shulem to the messenger of light of Elijah and the prophets. He sends first, why Elijah and all the patriarchs and Moroni. Moroni says, I didn't even know I needed this, and I was a believer in Messiah. I got the work of the Son, but I didn't even know the work of the Father had to do with the gathering of his elect and be a part of this Melchizedek priesthood. He didn't even know, but he said, he was like grateful that he got included. And now he's going out gathering and blessing others and pouring people this golden oil into them that we're all needing to have our flesh renewed to be able to withstand the things that are coming on the earth. You've been listening to The Watchman here on The Watchman on the Wall broadcast here on revolution.radio.com. Go to the website and donate. Appreciate your Patreon. There's a Patreon page where you can donate so much money. Find General Manager Matt Payne. You got some cups there and artists there. Artistry there. You got support the network that way. Monthly donations. But anyhow, it's been a good job working. The Watchman on the Wall signing off here on thank you for the dreamer.
You've been listening to Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Don't miss the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show every Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Studio B, right here.